You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gribble here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, getting you ready for a big Mailbag Wednesday edition. We're going to be talking with Josh Weinfuss from Arizona about Rob Hausler, who is in the building, but wanted to remind you, don't just play the draft, Dog Pound. Join me in a Play the Draft contest with the Cleveland Browns. Play the Draft is a fun, free fantasy game for the NFL Draft. Find undervalued draft prospects for your chance to win prizes, including lunch and a tour here at the Cleveland Browns training facility. Sign up now at clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gribble in for Matt Wilhelm. And Gribbs, Rob Hausler in the building today. We'll talk about him a little bit more, but I was just doing some research on him. And from, let's look at 2000. He wasn't much of a factor in 2014, kind of phased out of that offense. But this is a guy, same size as Jordan Cameron, a little bit faster than Jordan Cameron, athletic guy who could be that pass-catching tight end that the Browns are looking for to replace Jordan Cameron. In 2013, which was Cameron's great, great year, where he was under the North Turner offense, 118 targets, 80 catches, 917 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Rob Hausler from 2012 to 2013, 125 targets, 84 catches, 871 yards. Only one touchdown, was never used in the red zone by this Cardinals team. But in terms of his catch rate, basically the same as Jordan Cameron, yards per target, 7 for Hausler, 7.7 for Cameron, and that was in his best year. So I wanted to look at that. Why is it about a half of a yard difference? Cameron was targeted 10.2 yards down the field on average. Hausler only 8.5. So that explains the difference right there, 1.7. So it's even bigger. And yards per catch, yards after the catch per reception, Hausler averaged 4.6 over that period. Cameron just 3.1. So he's an athletic guy. He can do a little bit more after the catch. Last year actually averaged over 9 yards after the catch per reception. I like this fit for the Browns. It doesn't hurt the compensatory picks for those who are wondering if they sign him to a minor deal, which is what he would get, because Miles Austin is also signed now. So the Browns have had 6 out. This would only be their second, and they could still get the max of 4. But compares favorably. I know Ray Farmer's liked him for a while, and I'll be interested to see if the Browns can get something down with Rob Hausler, because that takes the immediacy of a tight end out. Is Rob Hausler going to be a massive difference maker? No, but can he run a lot of those routes, and can he stress the defense with his size and speed? Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think the key thing, and this kind of follows along the things that Mike Pettine has said in a lot of interviews and when they were looking at free agents, it's not just if they think this guy has been great, if they can just add him to the team and plug right in. They look at players who maybe were in the wrong system for their skill sets. And I think clearly after what he did in 2012 and 2013, and then you have that big drop-off from 39 catches to 9 catches, clearly there was something going on in Arizona where what he did best didn't fit the offensive philosophy that the Cardinals were running with. And so, you know, I think the evaluation from the Browns standpoint has got to be, does this guy, can we plug him in and get more out of him? And this is where you involve John DeFilippo and where he projects what he could do. But, you know, listening back to John DeFilippo's comments from about a month ago, this is where he talks about that F position at tight end. You know, he labeled the Y position, which is more blocking for Dre and Barnage. This is the area where the Browns right now, as it stands today, really don't have any players that fit that mold. So that's why if you were to add Hausler, it would make a whole lot of sense, but I don't think it would prevent you from also addressing the position in the draft. I think that would still also be a possibility.
I definitely think it would be a possibility for you, but I think this would be a smart minor signing, and we'll see if the Browns decide to make it work. They've been linked to him once before, and now we will see if they have a chance. He's here in the building. If he leaves with a small deal to come in and at least be that guy right now that would be, you know, that pass-catching tight end that you talked about. I know from my fantasy football days, this was a guy that a lot of people were excited about year after year. Is he finally going to get the chance? Is he finally? And he never really did. But when you watch him on tape, he flashes. He makes some big plays. And I think you'd be surprised. You put him in some of those vertical routes that Jordan Cameron ran, and I think you're going to get a lot of success out of Rob Hausler if he ends up coming to the Cleveland Browns. Let's go to the phone lines now, 216-578. And we'll get more on Hausler, by the way, coming up at 1:30. Josh Weinfuss, the ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Cardinals, will be talking Hausler with us at 1:30. At 1:45, again, it will be Mailbag Wednesday. You've already got a lot of good stuff there. 2:30, Josh Norris from RotoWorld.com, their draft analyst, will be with us. He posted, and I retweeted it, 7 rounds, along with Evan Silva. They did 7 rounds of the Browns doing the draft for them, pick by pick by pick by pick. We'll get his thoughts on what he did there for the Browns. It was good good timing. Also his thoughts on Hausler, because I know he and Evan Silva have been guys who wanted to see Rob Hausler freed and put in a situation where he could thrive, which he potentially could be here with the Browns.
Lots of good players still out there. You know, that they're going to get signed to some very affordable deals.
Crabtree's still out there.
Yeah, it's just, that's a bizarre one. I
he
mean,
just must not NFL be a great guy.
NFL.com ranked him as like the number 22 free agent in the entire class.
He must not be a great.
And it's been, what, a month?
He must not be a great guy. Yeah, he's not getting any money. It's interesting. Let's go to the phones, 216-578-0850. Daniel in College Station. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, man. How you doing?
Hey. I wanted to make a comment about that supposed report that the Browns were 90% done with Johnny Manziel. Here's why I don't believe that report is 100% accurate. The Browns decided to pursue Josh McCown over Brian Hoyer.
Yep.
And my understanding was that they decided to do so because McCown was more willing to be a mentor and to take a backup role, and the Browns wanted to believe Johnny Manziel could become the long-term answer, the long-term starting quarterback.
That certainly is part of it, yes.
So my understanding of that being the case doesn't mesh with the fact that the Browns are 90% done, because that to me sends two completely different messages. Either you're done with the guy, or you want him to be the starter and you wanted to go with the guy who was more willing to be a backup. Let me know what you guys think. Thanks.
I agree. I don't think that the Browns are out on Johnny Manziel. I think they're very curious to see what guy comes back from his time in rehabilitation. And I think he's somebody that, you know, if he can come back and be serious and be focused, we can find out what you really have in him.
And there's a big difference between being out on a guy and not depending and not counting on him to be the starter this season. I think that's where people kind of get lost in that, kind of the difference between those two, because I think by adding McCown it shows that you're not relying, depending on Johnny Manziel to be the starter, but it doesn't also mean that you're just completely writing him off for his entire career.
Listen, you've got him under contract for four more seasons, so you have the 4 years, then you can pick up the fifth year option because he's a first round pick. So Johnny Manziel's here for four more years. Do they expect him to come in right now? I don't think they know what to expect from him. That's different than writing him off completely, and I think we've been consistent on that, and I know that's what Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer have certainly been consistent on as well. Joey B. in Pittsburgh. Joey B., how are you?
Hey, guys, I'll tell you what is consistent. Hoyer's going to be there four more years longer than Tony Grossi is. Here's the thing that's, like I said, it's a freak show. It's a nonstop freak show. You know, now today it's the Browns sabotaged him. You know, yesterday in the interview with Thomas, you don't notice that Joe Thomas not one time even said one good thing about Hoyer. And then when he talks about the text gate, it's no big deal, but it's a big deal to the Springer wannabe, you know, Grossi. And no matter what you guys do, this old jerk is just going to completely, completely make a mockery of the Browns and just write about it, and it's so untrue. As you said, Nathan, quarterback situation is not only better, they will be 9-7 this year because they have a good veteran in Josh McCown. And also the fact is, the draft we are going to have this year is going to be good because Mike Pettine's a great coach. And don't forget now, you heard it here first, Justin Gilbert's going to have a heck of a season. He's going to come back. And like I said, if that's not bad enough, you know, Matt said it the other day, consider the source of, you know, who wrote the article and how. I just, Nathan, I don't know how you do it. I just had enough of the old fart. And if that wasn't bad enough, the April 1st, you know, article, the Steelers are a powerhouse and a Super Bowl contender. Oh, brother. Oh, brother. Like I said, the only one that's going to put a negative spin on it is, you know, Mr. Grossi. And I feel that we're great. We are great. And the situation at QB is going to be a lot better with Josh McCown. I mean,
I agree with that. That people know, you know, what I thought, you know, at least statistically speaking, about the performance of Brian Hoyer last year. I think that the article, I think you're right there. The leadership on the offense comes from the offensive line, and I think it's going to come from Joe Thomas. It's going to come from Alex Mack right now. You don't have that quarterback who is the clear leader of your team, and that's part of the problem. I think to say that in 2014, the Browns sabotaged Hoyer's leadership role by drafting Johnny Manziel in the first round is a totally unfair thing. Everybody knows in the world that Brian Hoyer is not a franchise quarterback, and when you have the opportunity to draft somebody that you think is, of course you do it. That's not sabotaging anybody's leadership role. That's saying, we know that you're not a long-term solution. You know you're not. Everybody knows you're not a long-term solution. We need to find that guy, so we're going to draft him. I don't buy that particular comment in the article from Tony Grossi earlier, because any team that doesn't feel like they have their answer, quarterback's going to try to get that answer.
Yeah, I don't know if similar things were written in Green Bay when Rodgers was drafted with Favre, but Favre,
but Favre's a Hall of Famer.
And he handled his own, I guess. You know, he handled it fine. You know, he played well. So I don't know. I think if that following the philosophy of competition at every position, you got to get better at every position. I think that was the move that they went to make.
And by the way, let's not forget that coming into the 2014 season, Brian Hoyer had started the three games prior, the prior season, got injured in the third one, and hadn't been a starter at any point in his career. So, of course, you're going to draft a quarterback coming into 2014.
It was uncertain.
Right. So, to me, it is not in my mind, that is not a fair characterization of what the team did. The team did what they were supposed to do. They drafted a quarterback. Now, you could debate, should the team have drafted Teddy Bridgewater? Of course you can, but the fact that they drafted a quarterback, everybody knew they had to draft a quarterback, and drafting a quarterback was not done to undermine the leadership role of Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer, they didn't know if Brian Hoyer was going to be the starter coming off of a torn ACL, had never been a starter before. I just think that is a little bit of a mischaracterization of what actually happened there. All right, when we come back, Josh Weinfuss from Arizona will talk to us about Rob Hausler, the tight end. Did he ever get a fair shake down there? What does he bring to the team if the Browns decide to go that route and bring him in? 6'5", 250. We'll see. We'll find out right after this. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.